Part 1. Water. A quote from the Book of Five Rings by Miyamoto Musashi. We make water our model and turn our mind into water. Water adjusts itself to a square or round vessel with ease. It can turn itself into a single droplet or into a vast ocean. Chapter 1. Black Dragon's Belching Smoke. Third day of the sixth month of the sixth year of the Era of Long Happiness. July 8, 1853. Yoshi was a leaf, spinning in the summer breeze. He was water running over stones. He was the thin, free air. Or at least that was what he tried to be. But really, he was just Yoshi, spinning, lunging, twisting, and slashing. The sword he imagined flashing in his hands was only a length of bamboo. His blade didn't exactly flash, but it was at least burnished by the early morning sunlight. He kept his heels slightly off the ground so as to move quickly, but he could never quite capture the graceful, gliding motions of the teacher. No matter how much he practiced, he still felt awkward. His slow moves weren't smooth enough. His fast moves not quick enough. More practice, he told himself. Under the flickering green leaves, with the sound of the rushing brook in his ears, Yoshi started again. But something, he wasn't sure what, made him drop his arm, stand still, and listen. Except for the brook and the silvery call of a bird, it was quiet. A familiar quiet, old as these hills and the nearby temple, old as the silent stone Buddha who watched him at his sword practice. But now, he noticed that there was a sound, a kind of dull thumping, as if his heart were beating somewhere outside his body. It was so faint that it was almost not a sound. He walked to the rocky outcropping that overlooked the village and the bay beyond. A humid haze hung over the valley, made thicker by the smoke from cooking fires. In the village, women were just now rising to begin making their families' breakfasts. He slid his hand into the fold of his sleeve and felt the cold rice ball wrapped in a radish leaf. Should he eat some or save it? He was hungry now, so perhaps now would be a good time. But he would be hungry later, too, and it was painful to watch the other boys eat while he had nothing. He pulled his hand away. He could wait. Beyond the village, the blue water of the bay winked in the early morning sun. Boats were just leaving the harbor for a day of fishing, their sails bright against the dark hills. Every day, the water in the bay looked different. Black under glowering clouds, or blue as the daimyo's silk kimono. Some days, it moved as if it were alive, rippling like a horse's flank. Why was it that the water could change every day, but absolutely nothing else ever did? The village below, its thatched roofs and bamboo fences, the skinny stray dogs that trotted along the dirt roads, it had all been like this for hundreds of years, and would be forevermore, as far as Yoshi could tell. These ancient hills and the temples hidden in them had stood for thousands of years, and probably would for thousands more. And yet, this morning, something seemed different. It was as if everything, the village, the hills beyond, the early morning mist and the smoke from cooking fires, the last reverberation of the temple bell, even the water in the bay, everything seemed to be holding its breath. The only sound was the steady thumping Yoshi had noticed earlier, and which had grown closer. Yoshi now recognized it as a runner's soft, thudding footfall. Next, the runner himself appeared. A man dressed in a short kimono and a lacquer hat who raced along the path toward the daimyo's dwelling place. The man glanced at Yoshi as he ran past.
You better hang on to your sword, little samurai, he panted.
What? Yoshi said. Why?
In the bay, the man called over his shoulder. Black dragons, belching smoke.
What a crazy person, Yoshi thought. But when he turned back to glance at the